Thanks, worship team, for leading us together as we worship our Lord and Savior this morning. I'm looking forward to our time together in God's Word, the Bible that we hold in our hands. Church, the nice thing about that, it's a source. It's always a source of God's perfect truth. Psalm 119, 160 says that the entirety of His Word is true. The entirety of it. We don't pick and choose, right? The entirety of God's Word is true. And so as we open it and dive in this morning, let's trust it and apply it to our lives. Today, we're going to continue in our study in the book of James. As a church family, we are walking verse by verse through the New Testament book of James, and we're coming to a close almost to the end of the study. We got three more weeks of this, and then we'll begin our summer series focusing on prayer. But throughout this study, James calls us, church, to not only hear and read the Word of God, but to be doers of it. To live a life that gives evidence. That's the thing, church, is our life give evidence that we know and follow Jesus? Because it does us no good if we read and even memorize His Word, but then not apply what God is teaching us. And so our hope this morning is that we hear from God and that we apply it today. If you guys would grab your Bibles, if you need one, there's some back there for you on that round table in the back. But we're going to be in James chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 7 through 11 today. Last week, we looked at the first six verses of James chapter 5, and there James was warning against materialism and the pursuit of worldly riches and possessions. And one of the warnings that James was giving was how we can be so caught up, church, hear this, we can be so caught up in pursuing the things of this world. We can be so caught up in pursuing riches and wealth and possessions and things that we become consumed by them. And when our lives are consumed by things, by riches, by wealth, that leads us, church, the Bible's very clear, it leads us to lose sight of God, and it leads us to lose sight of others. One of the things that we talked about last week was that when our riches and worldly things become idols in our life, it often leads us to do anything to hang on to those things. It leads us to gain more of stuff. And last week, James talks about when we do that, when we pursue those things, and we want to cling to them and get more of them, we often hurt others. Right, we often steal from others, we defraud from others, we cause others to suffer all so that we can get more stuff. Church, when our aim in life is to have more and to do whatever it takes to pursue and acquire more, when wealth and riches and possessions are idols in our lives, church, we will hurt others. We will cause others to suffer. And James tells the church that God hears the cries of those who have been cheated, who have been defrauded, and who are suffering. There are people that James was talking directly to in his letters. And church, let's be honest, there are people in here today who have suffered or are currently suffering because of someone else. Because someone else loved money and possessions and things of this world more than they did them. And so in verse 7 through 11, James is going to continue in that discussion of suffering. Many people in his day and many people today, many godly people, many Christ followers are suffering because someone else defrauded them, stole from them, hurt them when it comes to money or possessions. But many then and today are also suffering because of many actions by other people. Church, we often forget that the choices we make, the things we pursue, and the actions we take, they affect other people. Dads, on Father's Day, don't forget that. The decisions you make, the things you pursue, the actions you take affect your family and those around you. We can often forget to love our neighbors as ourselves, as Jesus commanded us to do. And when we do that, we cause others in our life to suffer. And James is going to speak to us about that today. God is going to use James to talk to us about how we should respond when other people or circumstances cause us to suffer. My pastor growing up said, man, life is hard. Like it's a roller coaster ride, right? You're going to go through difficult times. You're going to go through suffering. Maybe you're just going through it right now. Maybe you just came out of it. And then he says this, if neither one of those, buckle up because it's coming, right? Put your seatbelt on because it's coming. That's just part of life. And often it's at the hands of other people. And so last week, James gives a strong warning to those who are causing the suffering. But today, James is going to speak to us as Jesus followers as to how we should live and what we should do as we endure the suffering. Would you guys stand with me as we honor God and His Word? Follow along as I read from James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. Here's what God's word says to us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today ready to hear from your word. God, we know that suffering is part of this life, but it's no fun when we go through it. And so, God, we look forward to what you're going to teach us and how our life is to look different than others because we're yours. God, we pray, Lord, for those that are here today that don't know Jesus and they're suffering, that they would understand that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one that wants to walk with them through whatever storm they're going through, whatever fire they're in, whatever deep waters they're walking through. So we pray, Lord, if someone doesn't know Jesus today, that they would surrender to him. God, be with us and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As we read through this passage, I think the theme is clear. It's patience. Right? James speaks of patience twice in verse 11. He tells us to be patient in verse 8. He gives an example of being patient in verse 10. And then he uses another word twice in verse 11, speaking of endurance and to endure. And if we don't know what that word means biblically, it means to abide patiently. It means to remain, to not flee, but to remain while being patient. God's word, church, is calling us, even in the midst of suffering, to be patient. And we're going to talk about that and what that means. But first, let's be honest. When we are suffering, the last phrase that we want to hear from anyone is, hey, be patient. Amen? If you say amen, you don't know what you're talking about, right? Like, come on, church. Like, it's crazy. You may be sitting here today and you're dealing with pain and suffering, and it's hard for you to be patient right now. Especially if you know that another person has caused your pain and suffering. Church, when we hear the words suffering and patience, I think if we're honest, we know that there is immediate tension with those two words. But this morning, James is going to teach us and answer the question for us, how is that possible? How is it possible to suffer and be patient in the midst of us? How can we, in your notes, the first thing is this, how can we become more patient in the midst of suffering? James is going to lay out for us three pictures of patience to encourage us. But before we close at the end of our message today, James is going to tell us and remind us of the greatest encouragement that we have as Christians, even in and especially in the midst of our suffering. So let's walk through this morning. In the first, or in these five verses, James is going to give us three examples of how to be patient as Christ followers in the midst of suffering. For the first one, let's look at verse 7. He says this, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, your translation may say just brothers. So when I say brothers and sisters, I'm not adding to scripture. The implication is there is he is talking to the family of God. So a good interpretation of that is brothers and sisters. So they're family of God. They're Christians, brothers and sisters. Be patient until the Lord's coming. And then he gives the example. He says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. The first example that we see from James is this. We're to be patient like a farmer waiting for his harvest. He says, be patient. And then he says, how? He says, see how the farmer waits for his precious fruit and how he patiently waits for the rain. To us and to many of us in here, we may not understand what that means, but the original audience would have fully understood his reference. Those in the farming world, church, they live in complete dependency on God and his provision. When it comes to rain for their crops, rain was vital. It was vital for their income, for their future, but too much rain, what does that do? It causes your crops to rot, right? Or to be flooded, and they die. Too little rain causes a drought, or for your plants to be dried up. Too little rain keeps you from tilling the land. And these farmers, church, let's be honest, they have no control over that. Right? I know there are people that do rain dances and stuff, but the reality is we have zero control over rain. We have zero control over the weather. Are you with me? Amen. All right. And we are to be patient in that time. We're to be patient in that time like a farmer. You know what that means? Here's how we're patient. We're patient while trusting God with things we cannot control. Think about these farmers for a second. Their income, their security, their livelihoods, their families were all very dependent on the weather and the rain that their crops must have. But that farmer, no matter how good at planning he is, cannot determine whether it will rain or not, or when it will rain. He cannot control whether it would be hot or cold or freeze. He cannot control the weather. And James gives this example to say this. We need to hear this, church. You and I cannot always control the suffering that we face. You and I cannot control what others do to you that causes us harm or pain. But what we can do as Christ followers is to be patient and trust God with the things that we cannot control until He comes again. Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verse 19 through 20, He tells us that in this world, we're gonna face persecution. We're gonna face troubles. We're gonna face hardship. We will face suffering. And there are some prosperity preachers that say, once you give your life to Jesus, you won't have any more of that. We don't find that in Scripture, church. We will suffer in this world. And probably more so because we follow Jesus Christ. And we will suffer until we are with Jesus. And so until then, just as a farmer has to patiently wait for the rain that God alone can provide in His timing, church, even when we're suffering, we're to be patient and trust God that He will provide for us what we need during our suffering until He comes again. But we also see something else from these farmers. They cannot control how fast their crops will grow. They can't control the weather or the rain. But have you ever met a farmer? They are the furthest thing away from being lazy. Amen? I mean, these are hard workers doing what they can, right? They're out there working all while they're waiting on what they cannot control. They don't just sit there and sit on their hands and say, well, I don't have any rain, I can't do anything. Right? They're out there working while they're patiently waiting on the rain to come. They're getting their fields ready and they're tackling all the other chores needed. They're doing the things that will help their land and their crops grow so that when the rain comes, they're ready. Church, while we are in the midst of suffering, we're to trust God with things we cannot control. But church, we also have to be found faithful with what we can control. During times of suffering doesn't give us the permission to be sinful. Should I say that again? Even during times of suffering, we don't have permission to be sinful. We're to be found faithful with what we can control. Look at verse 9. He says, be patient like a farmer. And then, brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another. That word means do not grumble, do not groan about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. If a farmer is waiting and doesn't have the right mindset, he can become impatient as he waits for the rain and for the proper weather and as he waits for his crops to grow. You know what? If he does that, if he becomes impatient, he's going to be led to do things in anger that would cause his harm or cause harm to his crops and to others around him. Church, while we wait patiently and endure these trials and suffering, we can be tempted to go after the person that caused suffering. We could be tempted to become impatient, to become sinful. But James says in verse 9, he says, church, don't complain, don't grumble, don't speak evil against one another. That's really hard when someone's hurt us, isn't it? Not to speak evil against them. But James is saying, don't be sinful, but live faithfully. We can control that. We can control what we do. Resist sin while patiently waiting on the Lord. You go back to James chapter 1, a really challenging verse. In James chapter 1, he says, consider it all joy when we endure various trials. That seems impossible, doesn't it? But he says, consider it all joy. Be joyful when you're going through these trials. Why? Not because they're fun. He doesn't say be happy about them. He says, consider it joy. Why? Because as we go through those trials, the Lord is at work in you and me. Right? He's strengthening us. He's teaching us. He's growing us. He's shaping us. And so as the farmer patiently waits for his harvest, let us also be patient. Let God control what he can control and let us be faithful. Let's be walking with the Lord and resisting sin so that we can see the harvest. Church, we will in God's timing see what God is doing in our life and in others' lives as we walk through those times of suffering. It's hard to see it while we're walking through, but a lot of times God reveals it later. How can we become more patient as Christ followers in the midst of suffering? First, follow the example of the farmer. Patiently wait on the harvest, trusting God with what he can control and you can't, and live faithfully, church, with what we can control. Look back with me to verse 10. It says, for our second example, it says, brothers and sisters, take the prophets. So we got the farmer, and now he says, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. The second example that James gives us is this. We are to be patient like a prophet speaking the truth of the Lord. At first, again, this might not make a whole lot of sense to us. But to the people that James was writing this to, they would have fully understood what James is saying. James is saying, I know you're suffering, but I need you to be patient. And I need you to be patient like the prophets in the Old Testament were. Church, these prophets often suffered greatly, sometimes by people outside the camp, but way too often because of their own people. I love what commentator Warren Wiersbe says. He says this, they, the prophets, they were in the will of God, yet they suffered. They were preaching in the name of the Lord, yet they were persecuted. Satan tells the faithful Christian that his suffering is the result of sin or unfaithfulness, and yet his suffering, our suffering, might well be because of faithfulness. When we look at the life of these prophets, we see them even in the midst of their suffering, even when others caused them pain, they endured, church. They stayed. They continued to do what God called them to do while waiting patiently on the Lord. But just like the farmer, they didn't sit back. Well, I want to wait until the people are nicer to me until the suffering goes away and then I'll get back at it. No, just like the farmer, they're working. They're continuing to speak what God tells them to speak. They're continuing speaking the truth of the Lord. They gave us a great example, church. We will endure suffering often due to the actions of other people, even while we're doing God's work. But the prophets endured. We're to endure. We're to continue to do what God has called us to do while patiently waiting on the Lord. And church, we are to speak the truth of the Lord. Sometimes during times of suffering, don't miss this. Sometimes during the time of suffering, you have a golden opportunity to faithfully and lovingly tell others the truth about Jesus and the Word of God. When people see our lives and they know that we're walking through a painful and difficult time, what do they see? We've got an amazing opportunity to tell them and to show them why we can endure and why we remain faithful. We can point them to Jesus and his gospel. It's the next in your notes. Point them to Jesus and his gospel. Church, there is a reason that the church, more people are coming to know Christ in places throughout the world where persecution is the worst. Do you know that Christians actually face more persecution today than at any time in history? But do you know where the church is growing, where more people are becoming Christians? In those places where it's illegal to worship Jesus, where it's illegal to tell people about Jesus, where people lose their lives for living for Jesus. That's where the church is growing the fastest. Why? Because when people live for Jesus, pursue Jesus, and remain faithful to Jesus during times of suffering, it gives greater evidence of how very real their faith in Jesus is. Amen? David Platt says this, in the middle of hardship, we're to speak about the goodness, the greatness, the judgment, and the mercy of God. Christ followers, let others around you see your faithfulness to Jesus. Let them hear from your lips. Let them hear you speak to them about Jesus, especially during times of your suffering. James points us to the farmer, then to the prophet to show us how to remain patient in the midst of suffering until Jesus comes. For the third example, we look at verse 11. He says, "See, we count as blessed those who have endured, those who have been patient and stayed. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about." Our third example is this: be patient like Job, hoping in God's purpose. Anybody ever studied Job or read through Job? Man, right? If you're not familiar, Job was a man of God who faithfully persevered. He endured. He remained faithfully patient while enduring suffering, and he was blessed by God for doing so. Job is a long book in the Old Testament that shows us the hardship and the distress that he went through. It shows us how Job stayed true to his faith in the Lord and defended his faith over and over again. And it shows us in the end, in God's timing, how Job was delivered by God and was given twice as much as he ever lost. And James is including this for us as a reminder that no matter what you are going through, whatever pain and suffering and hardship that you are walking through, hear me, church, this is not the end of your story. Got it? Whatever pain and suffering and hardship that you are walking through, it is not the end of the story. It's difficult to find a greater example of suffering than that of Job. But yet, church, he endured. He waited patiently on the Lord. He didn't waver. He didn't reject God. He didn't blame God. He endured through it all so that God was glorified. Amen. This world and the people in it will cause us to suffer. This world and others will cause us to hurt. But we can hold on to the sure hope that we have in the Lord. He has a purpose, church. And through Job, we can see that in the midst of suffering, we can know that it is not the end of our story. And this last note is tied to Job's example, but it also ties up these five verses perfectly. Look back with me. We're going to look at all of verse 11 again. James writes this. He says, "See, we count as blessed those who have endured." Don't miss that. To live a blessed life means to endure. It means to wait patiently on the Lord. "See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord, church, is compassionate and merciful." Church, we can endure. We can be patient as Christ followers in the midst of suffering, not because of our strength, not because of our willpower, not because of anything else in this life, but because of this truth. In the midst of suffering, we can be encouraged because the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. I don't think you guys heard me. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, church. If you are here today, you are a recipient of God's compassion and mercy. At the end of Job's suffering, God showed himself to not only be with Job, but to be compassionate and merciful to Job. During his time of suffering and throughout all of it, Job met God in a deeper way, in a more intimate way. He grew in his walk with the Lord. He allowed God to use him to show others how compassionate and merciful God is. And God greatly blessed Job. Church, Satan wants us to grow impatient. He wants us to grow impatient with God. He wants us to grow impatient with others. And the only result of that is sin and destruction. But yet we still do it. But God, through this passage here in James, is calling us as Christ followers to endure, to be steadfast, to be patient. And in the end, we will see that God is compassionate and full of mercy. I love one of the phrases that James includes in this text. He says in verse 7, he says, "Christians, be patient until the Lord's coming." In verse 8, he says, "Christians, be patient, strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near." Church, when James speaks of the Lord's coming, the word coming has three different words that can be used in the Greek, but he uses one particular Greek word for coming. It's very specific here. And it speaks of the coming of his presence. It's speaking about physical presence. Here's what this means. Those who know Jesus, right? Jesus came and lived. He hung on the cross for you and your sins. He bled and he died because of his compassion and mercy. And when we turn to Jesus, when we believe in Jesus and call on him to be Lord and Savior of our life, we are promised by our God that Jesus is coming again. And we will be with him for eternity. I kind of feel like you guys aren't awake today. Did you hear what I said? This world is full of junk and suffering and hardship, but Jesus is coming again, church. We need something to wake him up, man. Like, get some whistle. I don't know. Get something going on, man. Jesus is coming again, and we're going to be with him for eternity if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Church, in the midst of suffering, James is calling us to long for Jesus. He doesn't say long for the suffering to go away. He says long for Jesus. To long for his presence. To long to be with him for eternity. Are you awake? Let's start this message over, church. Come on. Because although we will suffer in this world, and sometimes it's due to circumstances, sometimes it's because of other people, but we can be encouraged, we can endure, we can remain faithful, we can wait patiently on the Lord, because one day we will be with him. We're going to be with Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. It shouldn't take me saying it 45 times for us to get excited about it. This world is hard, but Jesus is good. Let's long for the return of Christ as we live faithfully for Christ. Let's long to be with him. Friends, no matter what you're going through, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is not the end. And not only will God be with us each and every moment that we're suffering in this world, he's going to be with us through all the heartache and all the hardship, but it's going to end. And at that time, we will experience face to face the compassion and the mercy of Jesus forever. Christ followers, you may be here today and you are suffering. And the last thing you wanted your pastor to say to you is be patient. But James writes this to encourage us, not to make us upset. He's encouraging us to endure, hoping in God's purpose, knowing that God is going to use us because of Jesus. You will be used by God. You will grow, and one day we will be with him for eternity, and all of this junk will be gone. If you're here today, I want you to know who I'm addressing today. I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking if your parents are Christians. I'm not asking if you tell people on Facebook or have the fish on the back of your car. I'm not asking if you listen to K-Love or Family Life Radio. I'm talking to those that don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And you know who you are. Please hear me this morning. Jesus is the answer. This world will never be able to give you what you need. This world will never be able to fulfill you. This world always leads to destruction. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father in heaven except through Jesus. He's the answer. Your job can't fulfill you. Your kids can't fulfill you. Your spouse can't fulfill you. Money can't fulfill you. Sex can't fulfill you. Only Jesus can. You're going to face challenges. You're going to face hardship. You will suffer in this world because we live in a sinful and broken world. Not because Jesus wants us to, because we have done this, church. Our sin has led to a broken world. But Jesus came in the midst of that while we were yet sinners. While we still rejected God. While we were still sinning against God. He demonstrated his love by dying on the cross for us, church. Jesus came with compassion and mercy to give his life to rescue you and to be with you. I need us to understand what the word compassion means. The word compassion means this. It is a gut-wrenching love that requires action. It means he feels something that requires him to do something. Jesus' love for you required him to come for you. If you don't know Jesus today, if you've not surrendered to Jesus, how will you respond to Jesus today? Will you believe in him? Will you recognize your sin and recognize his cross and believe that Jesus defeated sin and death and rose again? Or will you reject him and walk through this world in eternity without him? He is ready for you to experience his compassion and mercy today. He wants to walk through the pain and suffering. He wants you to know that he's the answer. Church, I'm going to ask us to bow our heads, close our eyes, just to have a moment with God. If you're a Christian today, if you know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus, take your suffering to Him. He says, cast your burdens on Him because He cares for you. Lay them on Him, throw it at Him, whatever it is that you need to do, because He's big enough to carry it for you. And He loves you. What area do you need to, out of this passage today, what area do you need to take to God? God, I'm not being patient. God, I need to feel that You're with me. God, I need to be reminded that You're coming again and this is temporary. God, I've not been walking faithfully with You. Take that to the Lord. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I plead with you to know Jesus today, to surrender to Jesus. If you're here today and said, I've not surrendered, I've not turned to Jesus and turned from my sin, I've not called on Him to be the boss and the Lord and Savior of my life, don't worry about what anybody else around you thinks or what you think they think. Your eternity matters. Jesus came for you personally. So if there's someone in here today that says, you know what, I've not experienced this compassion and mercy from Jesus. I've not been saved by Jesus. Others may think I am, but I know I'm not. If that's you today, would you slip your hand up and say, today's the day for me to give my life to Jesus, to surrender to Him, for Him to save me and forgive me of my sins. If that's you today, I would just love for you to slip your hand up quietly. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out. We can talk afterwards, but I want to know, is there somebody in here today that needs Jesus? Let's continue to pray. Father, we come before You today. Thank You for hard truths. But thank You for the reality that You walk with us and you give us the ability to live out these hard truths, to be patient, trusting You with things we cannot control, but walking faithfully with what we can. Remind us daily that one day You are coming back for us and we will be with You forever. No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more heartache, but just joy. Face to face with Jesus. Lead us to be patient and trust in You. In Jesus' name, amen.